God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in DC, let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. The Lord said, "Let there be light." And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. It is a shocking comparison, side by side. If you saw the footage of the dictator of China being welcomed by the dictator of California, you probably saw the footage of the dictator of California, dictator of China. Pardon me, I get my dictators confused. Driving through the streets of San Francisco, or being driven down streets with the flag of communist China everywhere, and not a single flag of the United States of America. Xi would have been right to believe he was home, because he was home. The fact of the matter is, as you watch this, realize, of course, they cleaned up the streets because you cannot have the dictator of China getting out, or getting, you can't have the dictator of California getting out dictated by the dictator of China. And as Xi drove through the streets, he was driven around, there were people paid to be there cheering for him. Now, maybe this is just propaganda. Maybe I've fallen for the new Cold War fear. Maybe that's it. Maybe I've been programmed, except there are these facts. China does have political prisoners. They do have concentration camps. They are killing the Uyghur people. You can go buy their hair. If you would like to buy human hair for a wig that wasn't donated by people who are struggling with cancer, but instead are being shaved like sheep, you can do that with the hair of Uyghur women. It's also true, and we've seen it with undercover footage, that China sells the organs of political prisoners. You can order them in advance, and somehow China just knows that people are going to unfortunately hit their head against a bullet. So to see this guy driven around our country is one thing, but then also to understand that he has his warships also off the coast of Israel, ready to go to war with us. So not only are they our major creditor in terms of a foreign country being a creditor, our major creditor is the corrupt Federal Reserve, which invents debt and then says, "Hey, you owe us money." Yeah, it is pretty similar, isn't it? Not only are they offshore in Israel prepared to fight against us, they're onshore fighting against us. They sponsor the critical race theory that is tearing the country apart as part of the Maoist culture revolution. And it is a Maoist system. It's a Maoist attack. Black Lives Matter Incorporated says, or their founders say, "We're trained Marxists." They're trained Maoists. And it's a Mao type system they're using and have used to divide the country. She is also one of the big proponents of transing our kids. His government is. They're helping to propel that through propaganda, etc., and through funding the corrupt World Health Organization, which is also pushing that, but not in China. Oh, they'll create medical advances in China, such as figuring out how to put the wombs of pigs into the bodies of men so they can pretend to be women gestating a baby. They're actually working on that. Can you imagine a bigger attempt to mock God? They'll do that, but not for their citizens. They'll do that and export that technology to gullible fallen countries, fallen spiritually. Well, I don't think you can be more fallen spiritually than the Chinese Communist Party. But also, as we watch this, remember that the church, the actual Church of Christ, has grown. For all that she can do, he cannot stop the words of Jesus Christ for all the control he has. And the same is true with the dictator of California. The Lord's words still live there. There are still great communities of California, people resisting and people fleeing. And I think most of us If you have kids, I personally believe most of us are being called by God to flee these places because they're pagan and they're fallen, and to unite in communities of Christians where people can see God's face through us as we care for the least of these, as we truly live out what it is to be a Christian. In other words, to be the church, not to attend the church. So watching that spectacle and then comparing the treatment of an American family headed by a guy named Donald John Trump, to me, is the most jarring of the juxtapositions. As you know, President Trump is on trial many, many places, most notably right now in New York, where there are no victims, where no one complained except a corrupt prosecutor who has somehow managed to scrape together $15 million as a public servant. Donald Trump Jr. was on the stand. He had this to say. His dad doesn't get to speak this clearly because his dad has an illegal, unconstitutional gag order pressed against him.
Very large banks get paid back millions of dollars. There's no complaint from them, but an overzealous attorney general decides to try to break up a transaction. And the implications for future fraud, if perhaps they don't donate to her political campaign, for any businesses operating in and around New York, are truly staggering. But that shouldn't surprise anyone based on everything that we've seen coming out of this attorney general. Her statements both before having any knowledge while running, and today. It's just a really sad state of affairs for New York, and again, where there is no actual person complaining other than the Attorney General herself. It sets a precedent. Our insurance company is going to start suing hospital patients for listening to their doctors. Are they going to go after any transaction that doesn't contribute to their political campaigns? I would think that this would set a precedent to make it impossible for anyone to actually do business in or around New York City.
Yeah, you know what it makes it impossible to do is to ever pay off a loan and have state of mind, have peace of mind that it's paid off, because the Trump family paid off the loan to Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs was happy with the terms. They didn't complain. So she is welcomed with open arms by the dictator of California. She, who has expressed his country's desire to be the top users of biological and chemical weapons, to be the top country in the world. They've said that's their goal. They're willing to do that. A country with death camps. He's welcomed. The Trump family is put up in front of what is a full-on kangaroo court. And still, God's word survives. Now, I'm not here to say that I think President Trump serves the Lord Jesus. He might. I know he prays. I've seen that. I've seen the evangelical leaders gather around him. But for me, I don't see the fruit of the Spirit. But the president was no doubt used by God. No doubt. And God is using President Trump again to, and I think, reveal what the system is. And he may well use President Trump to crush the system. He may well do that. I obviously pray that President Trump truly does have in his heart the humility to serve the Lord Jesus completely. And I believe that can happen because through God, anything is possible. I'll vote for President Trump in half a second or for Ron DeSantis. That's not an endorsement. I'm not allowed to do that here. This is the words of the corrupt AG, Letitia James, after Donald Trump Jr. testified.
Today marked the start of the seventh week of our trial against Donald Trump, the Trump Organization, and other defendants, and the first day of their attempt to defend their family fraud. Their first witness was Donald Trump Jr., who took the stand to talk about his dad's business. But rather than respond to any legal claim against him and his family, or address the substantial evidence against them, Donald Trump Jr. spent his entire time on the stand talking through pictures of Trump properties.
Yes, because the pictures of Trump properties are the defense. Because comparable properties in and around Trump properties are valued near Trump properties in the same dollar amounts, except that in the case of Mar-a-Lago, Mar-a-Lago is five times larger. They want us to believe that a property five times as large, which is a cash flow earning property, should be valued the same or less than houses next door. So the pictures are the defense. Letitia James is also, by the way, reading that statement. She's not able to speak off the cuff because she has to be careful that her lies sound slick, that her lies appeal. And again, no one is going to look into her $15 million fortune, which is a fortune. But yes, 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 let's welcome the dictator of China to our shores to be driven through San Francisco to be applauded. In fact, let's do this as we spoke about yesterday in the program. Let's agree to let China use all the artificial intelligence they want to target weapons, but not us. Do we believe that the Chinese Communist Party is going to live up to the AI limit we put on drones? Well, I personally don't want AI used in war at all. I don't want it used to drive cars. But I'm also not willing to pretend that the Chinese Communist Party has shown themselves to be trustworthy in any regard. Now, as all this is happening, and we observe the side-by-side, I always want to ask, what is the top story to God? Is God disturbed by this? I can't believe he is, since he knows it's coming. He's also warned us about these latter days, what it's going to be like, as people reject sound teaching. God spoke when he created the world. Let there be light. We open the show that way. God is in favor of free speech. But not all Republicans. They're beginning to sprint to the side of speech policing. Tucker Carlson had a discussion with Glenn Greenwald on this. Glenn is a very, very important journalist. Boy, do I hope that that God will call Glenn to himself. Such a smart man and a man living apart from God. I want to pray for Glenn. They had a discussion about shutting down dissent on campus. I want to be clear. Groups that are calling for genocide shouldn't get to do that using public dollars at all. They should have to call for genocide on their own dollars, and that includes being able to organize on campuses. But groups that question our role in the war with Israel, well, that should be allowed. Tucker Carlson discussed this with Glenn Greenwald.
Right from Americans.
What's so terrifying to me, though, is that the right, the American political right, which really was through this kind of weird transformation that's happened over the past dozen years, has become the lone defenders of the First Amendment. They've abandoned that in the last month, like instantly. So I think you could say, you know, I strongly support Israel. I strongly dislike Hamas. I'm rooting for, maybe I think we should commit troops to the region. I mean, whatever. You can have any view you want. However, American citizens have a right to express their opinion. Period. And that supersedes any other event in any other country. It's like that's a core right. And I don't hear many conservatives saying that. And so you sort of wonder, like, if they're not defending it, who will?
I mean, there are people who have built their careers, Tucker, over the last 5-6 years, standing up and saying, we can't have cancel culture. We can't have censorship. College students aren't entitled to feelings of safety. We don't censor in order to protect people from views they find threatening, mocking the notion that minority groups are vulnerable and we have to censor in order to protect them. Turn on a dime.
Yep. Glenn Greenwald's white, right? Tucker Carlson is correct. People have turned on a dime. If your support for free speech hinges on whether you agree with what's being said or not, you don't support free speech. You please understand, if you do not support free speech for anyone, well, then you stand against God. God is pro free speech and pro accountability. Doesn't mean that people who serve God always say smart things. We come back. The Archbishop of Canterbury had a fascinating wish for some people. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. This is the Disciples View. Appreciate you being here. Some emails coming up, as well as our feature called The Tower of Babbling. And wrapping up the show with some personal observation. This is a little bit of a personal observation, but it leads into the topic at hand. Well, and probably it's going to be a pretty intense personal observation. It doesn't happen to me as often as it used to. But there are periods of time where I go through intense feelings of loneliness. Now, I am blessed with great friends who will speak into my life, and they are a text away or a phone call away, and I'm blessed with that. I'm blessed with family that will gather around me. And sometimes I allow myself, or perhaps it's the enemy. The enemy can distract, distort, depress. He has very limited toolkit. He's just really good at using them. And I went through that cycle the other day, and I shared it with my pastor. I was at church actually when it was worst. And my pastor Jim asked me, and he always does, he always asks people twice, how are you doing? He said, how are you doing? I said, I'm okay. I'm a little bit in a loneliness cycle. So he didn't ask twice. So I shared with him just this feeling of loneliness, and he's concerned. And I told him, hey, Jim, this is a cycle with me, and God will take me out of it. And then he shared where he was at, and that's normal now. This is a normal thing to share with each other that way, and that's new for me in a discipleship culture. If you don't have that culture as a fellow man, I beg you to seek that culture. We're to confess to one another. And in confessing, we have the opportunity to speak into one another and let God do the work. Jim wasn't there to fix me. That's God's job. He was there to listen. But as I was still struggling with that, this is where it gets intensely personal, and this could be triggering for some people. I'm just going to say that. As I went through that loneliness cycle, I was thinking about what I was going to do to get out of it. And I had work to do that day. I also had traded my usual big exercise day for extra work. And so I was going to get work done and go exercise. So I was thinking about what will I do for exercise? And I thought, I'm going to go for a big, big trail run. And there's a place I love to do that in Coeur d'Alene called Tubbs Hill, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and go for a big trail run, dump my weight vest, take off my my sweats and shirt, and go soak in the cold lake for about 10 minutes. And I love doing that. And then the enemy spoke into me. Now, I didn't recognize it at first as the enemy. But I had this idea that, you know what I could do? Is after I take that, 2-mile run, and after I shed my weight vest, and am soaking the water, why don't I go tread water for about 20 minutes? And somehow this made sense to me. I mean, that's an incredibly stupid idea. When we cold soak in the lakes out here, and we do that for up to 10 minutes, we almost always go with a friend because the lake's 46 degrees right now. It's not a super big safety issue for me because I will go soak in that lake when it's 34 degrees. So it's not a super big issue. But to go out and tread water in that's stupid. There is a big difference between standing there in a lake with your arms wrapped around your side, building up a heat pocket. That actually does happen in cold water, by the way. It really does. Because if you go stand in a river, you'll find out how much colder it feels. We do that as well. And there's a big difference between that and treading water in terms of being able to stay afloat and to have any warmth. But when I was thinking of that, I was thinking, if I do that, I go tread water for 20 minutes and I come out of there, it will show that God wants me to keep going. It'll indicate to me that God's saying, hey, I got a lot for you to do. So I'm going to keep you afloat in that water. You're going to be fine. And I'll get you out of it. Prior to being discipled, prior to putting the word of God into my mind, prior to wearing the light of Christ, I may well have gone and done that stupid thing. But here's what came to me. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Now, I'm not comparing myself to Jesus Christ in any way. I would like to be more like him. I'm hoping that I can get out of the way of the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit do that with me. But of course, the enemy took the Lord Jesus to the tall tower. Throw yourself down. for this, you know, is written. God's not going to let you bash yourself. And I know I'm radically paraphrasing. And the Lord Jesus said, it is written, do not put your Lord God to test. That came to me then, and I laughed. I laughed at how stupid I'd become in my temporary despondency, which went away that day. In fact, it went away after I cast that thought from my mind with not even an exact quoting of Scripture, but a memory of the Scripture. It was gone. The loneliness disappeared. The stupid idea of treading water by myself disappeared. And I say this because we are called to be in the world and not of it. And so what does that mean? It means to me that the toolkit I have to respond to feelings like that has changed. It has become the only toolkit that matters. And that's the toolkit of the Word of God, the ever-present Word of God, the always available Word of God that can help us, I think, hear the voice of the Holy Spirit within us. It can help us get out of the way, shed whatever Satan and his minions are whispering in our ear, can just delete it and magnify the magnificent Word of God. It isn't always easy, but it is so, so vital that we also test each spirit. Justin Welby is the Archbishop of Canterbury. And Justin Welby had a fascinating wish the other day for people. Again, the Bishop of Canterbury.
A very happy Diwali to all who are celebrating today. I hope it's a joyful time for families and communities coming together to mark this festival of light as we approach the darkest time of the year. We all know what darkness is, and our need for light is so fundamental. Most of us experience times in our lives that feel like darkness, not being able to find a clear way forward. Often it's the small acts of community or family love and kindness that can bring light into these moments of darkness. Wherever I see this happening, I celebrate. And I'm so thankful for all of our faith communities who continue to notice the needs of others and to respond with kindness and love.
That's what it says in the Bible, all the faith communities. Respond always with kindness and love, all the faith communities. That's not what it says. Diwali, by the way, is a Hindu festival of lights. It's celebrated in other Indian religions. In other words, it's pantheist. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying for the people who are practicing pantheism. There's nothing wrong with saying, I wish you happiness in this time of seeking light. But as the Archbishop of Canterbury, the first words from his mouth should be, the true light comes from Jesus Christ. The truth, the life, and the way. The true light. True light from true light, you might say, if you like to go to the Catholic tradition. True light from true light. Is the Word of God morphing into a point where we are now to celebrate as equally able to actually solve the issue of sin to the degree that it can be before Jesus comes? With each faith tradition, there is nothing wrong with tolerance. We're called to have tolerance. One of the fruits of the Spirit is actual tolerance, or it's also said to be long-suffering. But nothing in it is an invitation to speak anything but the truth about how we get actual light from actual light. That comes only through God. For God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. It's not hard to find instances like that, unfortunately. And it's not just the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church gets a bad rap in this way because the Catholic Church is one of the largest churches, one of the most public churches, one of the most reviewed churches, and from the Mockingbird Media, one of the most hated churches because of all that. That's why the Mockingbird Media will focus on the terrible, terrible abuse of kids sexually within the Catholic Church. And that was horrible. And they will ignore that it's far, far worse in the government schools and getting worse every single day in the government schools. And I'm talking about in terms of numbers of kids sexually assaulted by, raped by, and now groomed on a consistent everyday basis in the government schools in comparison to the Catholic Church. Of course, the Catholic Church should allow itself to be fixed and cleansed by the Holy Spirit. That would require different leadership, in my judgment, with all due respect to our Catholic brothers and sisters. Pope Francis has removed the Bishop of Tyler, Texas. For what? Well, it appears to be because he's staying very, very close to the teaching of the Bible and the original dogma of the Catholic Church, refusing then to modernize, as Pope Francis seems to have, well, been pushing. A dear friend of mine who brought me to the Lord Jesus points that out to me this week, and we've seen this article. I'm going to try to have on next week a friend of mine with whom I've reconnected, who's a Catholic theologian and a PhD and a radio host in his own right, to get his views on this. Now, you can say it's getting worse, and in some ways it is getting worse, but I choose instead to say it's being revealed. What's being revealed is how rotten human institutions are, but also how exact the Bible's prophetic statements about these times are. It is so phenomenal to see this, and so frightening if you allow yourself to be frightened by it. In Germany, their federal parliament, which is called the German Bundestag, has accepted a petition outlining children's rights, which was drafted by men involved in a pro-pedophilia activist organization called Kruma 13. This comes from a website called Redux, redux.info. Very, very good source for stuff like this. So this lobby group, Kruma 13, advocates for lowering the age of consent and legalizing child pornography, announced on its website that a resolution developed by the group's founder, Dieter Gickensking, has achieved enough votes to be added to the Constitution or basic law. Gickensking's petition amends Article 6 of the basic law to add statements regarding children's rights and states that children should be viewed as legal subjects with their own rights. It was first submitted to the Bundestag on May 22, 2019, and has been the subject of a lengthy review process. Among the rights listed with the petition's context is the assertion that children have the right to say in all matters that affect their emotional, mental, and physical well-being, and the right to be the free development of their personality. Sexual self-determination is included in Article 2 of the Basic Law under the phrase free development of personality, a fact that Gickensig makes certain to point out to his followers on his website. As a reference, the petition as well as the German Bundestag both cite the UN Convention on the Rights of Children. Typically, a petition to amend the Constitution must gather the support of around 50,000 citizens. However, Gickensig was informed by the Petitions Committee the decision has been reached on February 14, 2021 to bring the pro-pedophilia group their petition to vote alongside similar petitions on children's rights for consideration. Germany then is considering legalizing adult men, largely, carrying out their lusts on using the bodies of children. Breathtaking. And it's a return. This is not a departure. This is a return to the time before we had true light from true light. It shouldn't particularly surprise us, though it's deeply, deeply disconcerting. But look at what's gone on with our bodies in the past few years.
We made it.
I love you. We had a successful vaccine. The efficacy was more than 90%.
Oh my God.
Maddie DeGarry is one of the very first children in this country to receive the coronavirus vaccine. It was back during the clinical trials.
Upon receiving the second shot, Maddie immediately felt pain at the injection site. And over the next 24 hours, She developed severe abdominal and chest pain, and the way she described the chest pain, and I quote, "It feels like my heart is being ripped out through my neck."
The death rates from this vaccine are, there's been more deaths in 8 months than in all the billions of vaccines combined over the last 30 years.
Anyone who looked at the design of these injections and was honest with themselves knew from the very, very beginning they were lying. I should say anyone even partly familiar with one major component of these injections, that's the nanolipid particle. Wrapping the genetic code in the nanolipid particle allowed it to bypass your body's immune system. Otherwise, your immune system would have rejected this as the poison it is for all too many people. The nanolipid particle also circulates this gene sequencing device throughout your entire body. It never stayed at the point of injection. Now, not many people foresaw the neurological problems this would cause, but many, many people said it's going to cause blood clots. How do we know? Because the spike protein causes blood clots. Many people said it would cause myocarditis. How did they know? Because of the design of these injections. It was never 90%, as the CEO of Pfizer just said in that speech, never anywhere near it. So why would we be surprised that Germany wants men to carry out their lusts on the bodies of children when a medical experiment was carried out on the bodies of many others? We'll come back with the Tower Babbling. I should have said in the last segment when I started with a pretty intensely personal observation that I get sometimes allow myself to feel lonely or be driven into, they're not bouts of depression. Depression is long lasting. I should have said something and I didn't. So I want to apologize for that and clarify that real quick and do that. This is a Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. If you missed the last segment, I just shared that I sometimes allow myself to go through brief moments, sometimes not as brief, but always, always God fixes it, of feeling lonely. And despite being blessed with friends and family, and I'm clear in the blessings. And I just said that I had this stupid thought enter my mind of, hey, why don't I go out in cold water and tread water for about 20 minutes, you know, above my head. Now, again, I go soak in cold lakes two or three times a week, sometimes rivers. We'll do that throughout the winter. So I'm not one that's going to get shocked by the cold water and get myself in trouble. But treading water by yourself is a stupid thing to do in cold water. Well, in fact, probably for a lot of us at all, if we're alone. I should have said at that point, if you ever find yourself in that position where the enemy saying things like that to you, I've used the word of God to just utterly repel it. And if that's not working for you, and you find yourself having these thoughts on a repeated basis, I beg you to tell a person. There is such incredible power to being in a Christian community and confessing to one another, because Satan loves to keep things in the dark. My process of overcoming that feeling, as I shared last segment, was first of all, telling my pastor, being honest. My pastor asked people how they're doing twice. He'll say, how are you doing? And people will say, fine. And Jim will say, really, how are you doing, though? Because the instinct in American society is to say, I'm fine. Right? And sometimes when you actually tell the truth, people don't even notice. So, but my process there started by being honest with Jim. I'm feeling very lonely today. And Jim was concerned. I said, hey, this is a cycle with me. God's going to get me through it. If it's not a cycle with you and you're not being able to get through it, I beg you to air it, to get yourself a group of Christian men or Christian women. If you're a man, please do it with men. If you're a woman, please do it with women. Well, in fact, there's an email on that topic, on that exact topic of male pastors counseling women. And likewise, female church leaders, not pastors, but church leaders. But for instance, I have a friend of mine who leads the grief ministry. and she's a great one for listening, obviously, leading a grief ministry. I beg you to employ that, because we're told in Ephesians that the people, after having been baptized to follow the Lord Jesus, 5,000 of them, they ate together daily. They prayed together daily. They shared the things that they needed daily, and they confessed to one another. Please bring the secrets into the light. Satan loves them in the dark, where he can continue to mess with you by distracting, depressing, and distorting. On a Disciples View, we make a habit in this last segment of thanking the Lord for placing supposedly wise people way up on these towering towers of, you might say, turtles. One of my favorite Dr. Seuss books is Yertle the Turtle. So the supposedly wise people way, way up on top, until you realize, hey, did you know you're standing on a stack of turtles? And a turtle's going to cough and you're going to fall? Or as we say it on the program, on tall towers of shaking sand. We do that with our feature called The Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Culture is, it is a reflection of our moment and our time. And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
The Tower of Babbling.
This is the first of three clips in the Tower of Babbling. This features one of the very, very wise people who advises figurehead Biden. This is National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
Yeah. You guys see this as an important meeting on Wednesday, but I'm curious, will the president, during his time with the Chinese president, try to hold China accountable for the spy balloon this year? I know, obviously, it seems like it was 20 years ago, but it was this year. The Chinese have said it was still a weather balloon. They said they should get the technology back. What kind of response are we going to see from the president this week on the spy balloon?
Well, as I said before, I'm going to let the president be able to sit down with President Xi and speak to him person to person. President Biden took steps to take down that balloon once it was safe to do so and out of potential harm's way to civilians. We were able to recover it, to exploit it. And from our perspective, the critical thing is that because we were able to protect ourselves along the way of that path, we do not feel that there was any information gain that was problematic.
It had a direct feed to China. They can decide which information they wanted. The taking down of the balloon happened after it went across a pre-planned path that happened to go over the top of our military bases. Very sensitive areas, missile launch facilities. And it wasn't the only one. Now, mind you, of course, this week, the dictator of China, as we talked about in the first segment, was welcomed with open arms by the dictator of California. Did you notice that they called Xi the president of China? I was unaware there are democratic elections there. Huh. You learn something when you listen to the truly wise and their tall towers of shaking sand. Second clip is that dictator of California, Gavin Newsom, who took some heat finally for his decision to disappear 10,000 or so people. Not permanently disappear. One would hope. He hasn't killed them, but he found a way to move 10,000 people out of San Francisco who own downtown, and they'll be back in weeks. He did this to hide the homelessness from his fellow dictator, Xi, because you can't be out-dictated by your fellow dictator. Gavin Newsom continues to defend that decision.
Anytime you put on an event, by definition, you know, you have people over your house, you're going to clean up the house. You have 21 world leaders, you got tens of thousands of people coming from all around the globe. What an opportunity to showcase the world's most extraordinary place, San Francisco.
So, yeah, you're going to clean up your house, but if you have to be told to clean up your house of heroin needles and human feces and people with flesh-eating bacteria making themselves worse on your street corners or in your house, just imagine this, that you say, hey, you know what? Grandma's coming over. We need to get rid of the human feces in the front room. We need to make sure that the five people that we have here with flesh-eating bacteria rotting their skin in the front room, we got to hide them. Oh, and by the way, you know all those heroin needles in grandma's bed, the spent heroin needles? We need to take those out. And can you clean the sheets? Because there's a lot of vomit and blood on there from the heroin addicts that we have living here. Let's clean that all out and let's take the addicts and we'll put them in the garden shed while grandma spends a weekend here. You might have more problems than straightening your house because grandma's coming over. And the people of San Francisco have been begging for this cleanup for a very, very long time, even in that liberal community. The last clip today in the Tower of Babbling, clip 3 of 3. Climate activist Greta Thunberg was giving a speech and she decided to, well, kind of go off script.
We have not been listening. The people in power have not been listening.
I have come here for a climate demonstration, not a political view.
They're all the same. The people of the left, what we're to refer to as Palestine, is the same thing as climate justice because they're all coming from the same central lie. Is there brutality in Gaza? There is. Does Hamas cause it? There is. They do. Is this a biblical level problem? It appears to be because anything involving Israel is. Is the big concern there climate justice? I don't think so. But to the intersectional left, they're all one big issue. And that issue is how do we take down Western society? And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time. And I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
Just a personal observation in regard to an email I got from Deborah. Deborah writes, I'd listened yesterday. I was in my car and missed the end. You shared that there were men, male pastors and men teachers that said they'd not counsel a woman in scripture or in need of spiritual guidance. My good friend is a member of a church I'd thought of for me. I went one day on my own during the week and a nice woman showed me around. It's a big church. The pastor's office doors were open. She shared they weren't available. Then I was told that the pastors only speak with women if their wife is present or another church woman member present. I'd asked all the time and they said, yes, I'm not stupid. I'm 70 years old. What if I had biblical questions that were personal to me? They said, it's okay. The wife just sits and is quiet. I'd asked my friend about this rule later. She showed the temptation is always there from whom I'd asked. He speaks about his wife a lot. That's great. I do agree that men are only as pastors. It's what I believe is intended. But as my pastor, a Christian man in church, I'd think I'd be able to have a conversation about our Lord. I'd seen this at another church, same denomination. The lust of man, women, talking scripture, fellowship. Jesus was man, his disciples were men. There were many places in the Bible where our Lord has a loving relationship with men and women, spiritual love. He is our example. I guess the flesh is weak. If I or a male friend in need of God's word shared, how could we not? We're in his word helping. I remember a dark time in my life. I sought a pastor as I knew I needed spiritual guidance. I found the church and the pastor was going out for lunch, but he saw me in need. He counseled me. He prayed for me. And I thank God for his mercy of this gentle pastor. Thank you, Todd. Deborah, thank you for the note. I think what my point of view on this is and how it's evolved is certainly go to your pastor with biblical questions. There's a difference between talking in the lobby about spiritual questions with your pastor and making a habit of meeting privately with a pastor. You may well have concerns in your marriage. You might be in a position where you're being, well, abused or beaten. You're not going to want your husband at that meeting. And in my judgment, no decent pastor would say, well, let's bring your husband in here. If the allegation is he's beating me, I think a decent pastor would say, well, let's start by getting you safe. And then the role of bringing in a woman into that, well, it is because the flesh is weak. The Lord Jesus's flesh was not weak. He knew how to deal with temptation better than we ever will. He's given us tools in the Holy Spirit. But Satan always, always masquerades as an angel of light. He always, always hides his true nature. He never comes out and jumps out of the darkness and says, go and have an affair. It's not what he does. It starts often with the loneliness we addressed earlier. People become lonely. Marriages can reach a point of not just being stale, but sometimes of, in fact, oppositional. I've seen it happen. And I've seen it tear people apart. So it's not that a single meeting to discuss a biblical need with a pastor is going to cause that. It's that Satan likes to operate in those circles. And consistently spending time around a unmarried member of the opposite sex, if you yourself are married, you're simply setting up a position where Satan could play. He'd love that. And so often it starts with the compassion of the heart. Oh, this dear woman, she's hurting. And so the enemy might say, nothing wrong with a hug. Well, a hug can become something else. Now, this isn't to say I walk around afraid of having conversations with women. No, my CrossFit coach is a woman. Some of my dearest friends are women. And we have guardrails around our friendships because we respect our marriages. And for me, because I respect the fact that God has shown me over time, I'm a guy who needs guardrails. Thank God, he's always kept me within those guardrails. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We speak because we believe, until God allows us to speak again together. May he be with you. I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.